All right, on today's show, we got to talk about returning production. That's right, Bill Connelly finally released his first edition of the College Football 2025 returning production rankings. Kirby Smart had to talk about Johnny Football a little bit. Nebraska and Tennessee canceled. You might have already heard about that. CFP, the committee, is meeting today. Apparently, they are going to talk about seeding. That's the biggest thing on the format right now. But we'll talk a little bit more about what the future of college football looks like, at least with the playoff. Luke Fickell, we'll talk about him, along with a whole lot more.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Can you believe it?
It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man, a superb athlete.
Gary Seegers.
All right, let's get into it. It's Winning Cures Everything College Football Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers. And, of course, you can follow me on X, at GaryWCE. That same handle for all the different socials, TikTok, Instagram, etc. I don't do those as much. I'm certainly much more active on X. And if you want to toss in some questions to the podcast, of course, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com, or there's a number of different ways that you can get in touch with me. Go over to bettingcfb.com. You can leave a message over there. You can become a member. $5 a month, $50 for the year if you want to keep supporting what I'm doing. And it's a good time. It is certainly a good time. All right. Hopefully everybody's having a wonderful day wherever you are. I am traveling currently. So as I was traveling, why not just discuss a few things that are going on in this crazy world of college football? If you're watching the video, it is shaking like crazy, and I apologize. But this is more for audio anyway. So, all right, let's discuss. First thing on the docket, Bill Connelly finally released his 2025 college football returning production rankings, and there's some interesting names at the top. We're up to 136 teams. Delaware and Missouri State are joining the FBS this year. They will be Conference USA members. Not sure totally exactly what the conference layouts are going to be right now. I know that there's a few more moves going on. I think that they start next year. That would be Northern Illinois leaving the MAC. They will be joining the Mountain West. All of their other sports are going to be in the Horizon League. Hat tip, of course, to Kelly Ford doing his thing. The K-Ford rankings, or ratings, excuse me, not rankings. But let's talk about these returning production numbers. And we'll talk about the top 15. Number 15 is Liberty. They are number 56 on offense and number 13 on defense. And look, Jamie Chadwell has got a good team. Obviously, they've got way more talent, more resources than anybody else in Conference USA. They did not win the conference last year, but still a good program. And when you've got that much returning production, granted, you don't have Caden Salter, but they are, I expect them to be the class of Conference USA again this coming season. Stanford comes in at number 30, or sorry, South Florida is number 14. South Florida is an interesting one because they had to deal with so many injuries last year, but they've got the quarterback back. They got a lot of talent down there. Alex Golish knows, at least in the AAC, you got Tulane and you got Memphis that are at the top of the conference. Last year it was Navy and Army that were battling most of the season. East Carolina maybe could do good things with their new coach. But either way, South Florida, very interesting, at least when it comes to the numbers. Number 38, most returning production on offense. Number 17 on defense. So, interesting stuff to pay attention to with South Florida. Stanford is number 13. First year in the ACC didn't go so well, but I do believe in Troy Taylor, their head coach. They lost their quarterback. Not sure that's going to make a whole big difference there. Number 63 on offense, number 6 on defense. So, maybe the defense looks a little bit better this coming season. I believe the schedule is a little bit easier this year as well, although all that travel certainly makes it a crapshoot every year with that bunch. Cincinnati in at number 12, number 42 on offense, number 16 on defense. They are interesting, very interesting, because you would, if things had gone any worse last year, you know, since he didn't make a bowl game, but they've got a good quarterback. This might be a make or break year for Scott. We'll see exactly what Cincinnati looks like. Baylor in at number 11, number 15 on offense, number 26 on defense. And I think Baylor could be really, really good. They were able to keep Jake Spavital, the offensive coordinator. Of course, Dave Aranda doing his thing. Everybody thought that he might be gone last year if they didn't have a good year. They did have a pretty good year. Went 8-4, did not win the bowl game, but is what it is. They played LSU. LSU was really good. You get the point. But Baylor, with Sawyer Robertson back at quarterback, I think that they're going to be a lot of fun. Oklahoma at number 10. This is an interesting one because they do lose some guys. However, you bring in, at least with transfers, a lot of guys that have some experience. And the way that Conley's numbers work, if you bring in experience, if you bring in transfers that have started, that have played a lot of snaps, all that kind of stuff, then it's still weighted a little bit against you. But some of that returning experience does count towards your returning experience. So, something to pay attention to. But Oklahoma, number 10. They're number 6 on offense. A lot of that has to do with John Mateer coming in at quarterback. They've got a lot of wide receivers that will be back that have played. The offensive line should be okay. Number 46 on defense. Now, they do have a ton of talent on defense. Venables, of course, is calling the plays on defense this year. They did bring in a new offense coordinator, Ben Arbuckle, who doesn't even turn 30 until like week 3 of the season. So that's something to pay attention to. New offense coordinator, young guy, but really fun offense. Arbuckle comes off of the Zach Kittley tree. Both of those guys went to Western Michigan. Kittley came from not Incarnate Word, Houston Baptist, I want to say. Houston Baptist offense. And then went to Western Kentucky. Zach Kittley, of course, then went to be the offensive coordinator for Texas Tech. Left there, he is now the head coach at FAU. But Ben Arbuckle, next in that line, he was, I think, the quarterback's coach at Western Kentucky, and then took over as the offensive coordinator, left after 1 year to go to Washington State, now he is at Oklahoma. Number 9, Boise State. 69% returning production. Number 6 on offense, number 46 on... Sorry, that's not right. Number 9 on offense, number 31 on defense. You don't have Ashton Jeanty anymore. But cheers to him. Maddox Mattson did good things at quarterback. They do have some players that are going to be pretty good. But remember, this is returning production, not talent. So you've got a Boise team that made it to the playoff last year that, you know, tried to put up a fight against Penn State in that playoff game, but did win the Mountain West last year, and you got a lot of experience. A lot of guys that won a championship, made it to a playoff. I think that's a good thing. Spencer Danielson is the head coach there. They do have to replace the offensive coordinator. Of course, Dirk Cutter came in, did 1 year with Danielson, and now he is gone again. And boy, does he like to talk. he hopped on some podcasts talking about Malachi Nelson, who was the number one overall recruit just a couple of years ago, and is now has transferred to his third school, and he went from USC to Boise down to Utah. So we'll see what happens there. But Boise at number 9, very interesting. Number 8 is Vanderbilt. And Clark Lee took a chance and found a cheat code. Now, I don't know that the schedule aligns for them to be able to. I mean, they went 6-6 last year, but they had to have an upset over Alabama just to make a bowl game. If you choose to look at it that way, they beat Kentucky, they beat who else? Auburn. Those kind of things don't happen all the time. Can Diego Pavia and the New Mexico State bunch, can they do it again? Jerry Kill, still an analyst there. Tim Beck, the offensive coordinator who came over from New Mexico State. Eli Stover, the tight end. They've got some very interesting. They're good on offense. The defense, I think, has to be better. They are number 10 in returning production on defense, number 28 on offense. So Diego Pavia getting another year because of his JUCO lawsuit against the NCAA. That's a big thing for Vanderbilt. Number 7 is Rutgers. And I feel like Shiano is at the top of this list every single year. everybody kind of thought that the schedule was set up for them to maybe win 9 games this past year. I think they got to 7. Still not a lot of talent. Schedule was certainly easier last year, but Rutgers number 2 in offensive returning production, number 38 on defense. 80% of their offensive production is coming back. Number 6 is Texas A&M, number 19 on offense, number 12 on defense. With all the good vibes and all the hype of bringing in Elko as the head coach, still could not break 8 wins. It found that very interesting. And I talked about that before the season, where there's just something about that program that feels cursed, maybe, or I don't even know exactly how to spin it. But here's it. When you're in the SEC and you've got a schedule that's built like theirs was last year, if they had beaten Texas, they would have been in the SEC championship game. They lost to Texas, and they weren't even one of the top 6 teams. Like, that's how quick that all falls apart. So, is that correct? Maybe they weren't one of the top. I think they would have been number 2, and instead they were number 7, something like that. But regardless, going to be interesting to see what Texas A&M is able to do. They did get KC Concepcion. I don't know why I say his name with an accent like that, but he's the all-star wide receiver from NC State. A&M was able to get him signed. Number 5 is Kennesaw State, who is number 24 on offense, number 3 on defense. Kennesaw State did some good things. They were obviously very close to winning several games last year. They beat Liberty. Overall, the team was not very good at all, but a lot of returning production this year. And that whole situation with Brad Bohannon was very interesting. I want to say it's Bohannon. Was that the former Alabama coach, or was that the former Alabama baseball coach? I think it's Brad Bohannon. Regardless, if that's wrong, I will correct it later when I'm actually doing previews. But Kennesaw State, if they had kept the coach and kept going in the same direction, then you maybe could have seen some good things on the horizon, the same way that you would have seen with Sam Houston State, who went 3-9 in their first year with KC Keeler in the FBS. And then the second year, won 9 games, lost the bowl game that would have gotten them to 10. I think they lost the bowl game. Regardless, you get the point. KC Keeler, now at Temple, Bohannon, out of a job, Kennesaw State, trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do. A lot of politics involved with Kennesaw State. Number 4 is Texas Tech, and I released a video on YouTube about that. You should go and check that out. Number 25 in returning production on offense, number 1 on defense. Spent over $10 million in the portal on 17 players, and they were one game out of first place in the Big 12 last year. They want a Big 12 title. So, Joey McGuire and that bunch, they've got a lot of talent to work with. Are all the pieces going to mesh? We'll see. But they certainly went hard after the transfer portal with a lot of experienced guys that are going to come in for 1 year. Some of them might be there for 2, but a lot of 1 year guys. And let's see what ends up happening. The top 3 are interesting. Number 3 is Illinois. Bielema had an incredible coaching job last year. Luke Altmyer, the quarterback, did some fun things. You know, Barry Lunney Jr. is the offensive coordinator there. They did better things on offense than I think that you would believe if you weren't looking at the numbers. They were not very good at running the football. Not exactly a Brett Bielema style of offense. And yet, they were incredibly successful. And if I'm not mistaken, won 10 games. They beat South Carolina in the bowl game. Bielema, of course, started a feud up with Shane Beamer. Interesting stuff. Number 5 in returning production on offense. Number 8 on defense for the Illini. Number 2 is Arizona State. They were not supposed to be that good last year. They just weren't. And yet, Kenny Dillingham and company found a way to get it done. Sam Levitt, the quarterback, he is back. They are losing their stud running back, though, and he was kind of the Scataboo was the glue that kept that team together. I think he was a big part of the chemistry there, so I'm curious what this team is going to look like this coming season. Schedule does not set up as easily for Arizona State, but they are number 4 in returning production on offense, number 2 on defense. They were 2 years ahead of schedule, I want to say. Last year was only Dillingham's second year, and they made a playoff and took Texas to double overtime. Came within a 4th and 13 or whatever it was of winning and going to the CFP semifinal. I mean, just bananas what Arizona State did. And then number 1 in returning production is Clemson. 81% returning production, number 1 on offense, number 7 on defense. They do have a new offensive coordinator, a new defensive coordinator in Tom Allen, who comes over from Penn State. They got dudes. Cade Klubnik, now in his third year starting. Garrett Riley's offense certainly took off last year, but they didn't do big things against the best teams, right? Only 14 points scored against South Carolina, only 3 points scored against Georgia in the opener. But they did do some good things at Texas in the playoff, in the first round of the playoff. Defense wasn't very good, so they fired Wes Goodwin. And now, of course, in comes Tom Allen. And I think that this will be an upgrade because I think that Allen fits with what they want to do schematically, philosophically, etc. So we'll see exactly what ends up happening with Tom Allen. But I'm excited about this. If you want some other interesting names that are in this list, you've got BYU at number 45, number 23 on offense, 75 on defense. Let's see. Arkansas is at number 64. Where's Alabama? Number 35 for the Crimson Tide. Number 46 on offense. Number 37 on defense. Navy losing a lot of their defense, but they got a bunch of guys back on offense. Mississippi State, number 20 on defense, but only to number 71 on offense. That whole offense is going to have to be remade. But Blake Shapen is coming back, so that's a good thing. Iowa at number 65. Their defense is number 95 in returning production. So what is Phil Parker and company going to be able to do? North Carolina at number 81 right now. They are 81st on offense, number 70 on defense. San Diego State, that offense, going to have to figure some things out. Number 123 in returning production on offense, number 14 on defense. So Sean Lewis, if you're wanting to see what's going on with FazTech offense, whatever it is. Curious to see what they're going to look like in year two. Colorado, number 99 on offense, 66 on defense. They are number 89 overall. Syracuse is going to be interesting. Fran Brown did some amazing things last year, but they're number 115 in returning production on offense. Can they replicate it with the guys that they've got? Kyle McCord was a huge surprise for them in that offense last year. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Memphis is all the way back at number 119. UAB is number 120. So the AAC got some interesting things going on there. Curious to see what the AAC is going to look like.
We're proudly supported by Go Sleeves, the best kinesiology technology on the market. Go Sleeves' patented compression sleeves, socks, and more increase blood flow and lymphatic flow to help your body recover, manage pain, and maintain peak performance. Right now, you can save 15% by going to GoSleeves.com/WCE or by using the promo code WCE on their site. Go Sleeves. It's go time.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Let's talk Kirby Smart for a minute, since we've already been talking for nearly 20 minutes on this. Kirby Smart was in a team meeting and decided, and you never know how these things get started, and I haven't done enough research to see exactly why he was talking specifically about Johnny Football, but he brought up Johnny Manziel, and he said that the guy's never won nothing. He's not a champion, and that if he is a champion, he's the champion of Fireball. I don't always like when coaches kick guys when they're down, and don't get me wrong, Kirby Smart did not like having to defend Johnny Football. Kirby was the defensive coordinator at Alabama when Johnny Manziel went into Tuscaloosa and won that game back in 2012. And Kirby's defense couldn't do anything with him in that first half. I mean, it was a complete debacle. Some of the plays that he was able to run, of course, it helps when you've got a wide receiver, Mike Williams, maybe? I'm trying to remember. It's 6'4" and can catch anything. So Johnny Football would just have to dance around in the backfield for a little while, and he could certainly do that and just throw the ball up. So I'm not a huge fan of that, but I do understand why coaches do it, so that you can give real-life examples to kids that are on the team and show them, hey, I know that seeing this kind of stuff is fun and doing this kind of stuff looks like it's fun. However, if you don't buy into the team aspect, we're not going to accomplish all the goals that you set out for. And if you don't accomplish all the goals, then nobody really wins, because nobody wins a championship. You don't get done the things that you want to do, so you're not remembered in the highest of lights. So I get where he was going with it. But do I like kicking people when they're down? No. And maybe Johnny Football's not down anymore. I mean, he's been all over the place. He's working for Action Network now. The guy's had documentaries done about him. He seems to be enjoying life. I think that he made a decent amount of money, and now he's figured out what he wants to do. So cheers to him. We have a Big Ten SEC matchup that got canceled for 2026 and 2027, and that would be the Nebraska Cornhuskers and the Tennessee Volunteers. And the way that the media initially spun it is, all right, Nebraska is backing out of their game with Tennessee. And it's a series, but they're backing out. $500,000 per game, Nebraska's having to pay $1 million to Tennessee to get out of these. And the reasoning behind this is very simple. Nebraska is doing stadium renovations in 2027. The Tennessee game in 2027 was going to be in Knoxville. In order to get in the number of games that they need to match the revenue that they need to produce from their games, since they will have less seating in 2027, they needed 8 home games that year. So I believe they initially talked about, hey, let's switch the dates. Tennessee couldn't do that because the schedule didn't align, so Tennessee would not have had enough home games in 2026. Or in 2027 if they did that. So they couldn't switch them between 26, or the sites. They couldn't switch the sites between 26 and 27. So Nebraska asked if they could push the dates back again, because Tennessee did this with Nebraska a decade ago. These games were supposed to be played in 2016 and 2017, but Tennessee had to move the dates. So they pushed the dates back, and now we were supposed to have them not this coming season, but the season after, and then the season after that. But Tennessee told them, no, we can't push the dates back anymore. And I don't blame Tennessee for this. Let's not make Tennessee out to be the bad guy, because who knows what this sport is going to look like in the next couple of years. So you can't keep pushing stuff down the line, because you don't know exactly what the scheduling agreement between the Big Ten and the SEC is going to look like, if there is one. You also don't know, you don't know what's going to happen. So Tennessee may not want to put a whole lot of stuff on the books trying to figure out if, yeah, we might have 9 conference games, or we might still have 8. And even if we do have 9 conference games, we might be set up where the Big Ten and the SEC are wanting us to do a certain thing, and then we have to find a way to cancel the contract anyway, so we're just not going to push this thing back. So I don't blame them for that. Nebraska, I don't blame them either. They were able to replace with some G5 and FCS and whatnot schools. So Tennessee is looking for a home game in 2027, and I saw Alex Golesh has already reached out. The head coach of South Florida, he, of course, was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee in the first few years under Josh Heupel. He wants to go back to Knoxville. He said, we'll play you. We'll come up there. Just give me a shout, AD. And so Danny White, I'm sure, is going to figure out something. I mean, if I was Tennessee, I would do it, because, I mean, that's the kind of game that you'd end up having 100 points and whatever else in. I mean, that's, those two offenses, yeah, they like to run the ball a lot, but they move quickly. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So hopefully we get something interesting out of this. I imagine we will see Tennessee and Nebraska play at some point down the line, but Nebraska has to give $1 million to Tennessee. And $1 million ain't chump change, but I mean, with these programs, it might be better to do that as opposed to lose out on home. As of right now, today is Tuesday, February the 25th, and they have CFP meetings going on today. Very, very interesting meetings that are happening. Last week, of course, we had the SEC and Big Ten meetings down in New Orleans. This week, we have the CFP meetings in Dallas. And from everything that I can understand, and Brandon Marcello wrote about this, and Ross Dellinger is there as well from Yahoo Sports. Of course, Marcello from CBS, ESPN, I believe Heather Dinitz is there. Everybody's covering this to see what ends up coming out of these meetings. It was from 9 a.m. Eastern until 4 p.m. Eastern, if I'm not mistaken. So it is still going on as I'm talking to you. But what they are mostly looking into today is trying to figure out what the seeding will look like. The seeding issue for the 2025 playoff. Because in 2026, everything kind of blows up. There will be more meetings. This one is not to determine what 2026 ends up looking like. So we're not going to get expansion today, I don't believe. But we'll see. Obviously, anything might happen. But the seeding issue, of course, this past year, we saw number 9 seed Boise ended up as the 3 seed. Number number 12 ranked Arizona State ended up the number 4 seed. Both of those teams got byes, so you had first round byes for the Big Ten team, the SEC team, the Mountain West champion, and the Big 12 champion. So the ACC did not get a bye. So, of course, everybody's pushing for, hey, why don't we just seed it and give the byes to the top four ranked teams? Wouldn't that make the most sense? And yes, theoretically, it does make the most sense, right? However, they put monetary values on this. If your team makes it to the quarterfinals, which is what the second round of the playoffs, your conference is automatically awarded $8 million. If you only make it to the first round of the playoffs, your conference is awarded $4 million. And then it goes up from there. If you are the ACC and the Big 12 and any of these G5 conferences, why would you give up that extra $4 million for nothing? I don't believe anybody in their right mind would. So you maybe want some kind of assurances going into the 2026 playoff of what this is going to look like. Now, you've already given up your voting rights on this. The Big Ten and the SEC, they run the CFP. Their votes are weighted. Everybody agreed to it because the SEC and the Big Ten talked about taking their ball and going home and doing their own playoff. Of course, you can't have a national championship playoff without having the SEC and the Big Ten. But I am curious what kind of concessions the SEC and the Big Ten would be willing to give in order for this one season for it to just be a straight rank. 1 through 4, those are your teams that get byes. Conference championship be damned. And then go from there. That's what I'm curious about. So we'll see. My guess is they don't change anything. They don't change the format. They don't change the byes. They don't change any of that for 2025. I think we're just going to look at it the exact same way. And your favorites going into that will be Clemson to win the ACC. And who is the favorite to win the Big 12? Kansas State, maybe? I mean, who knows at this point? So, but those teams will be your byes, your conference champs. And then everybody else falls in line. And then once we get into 2026, the SEC and the Big Ten will say, all right, now we're just doing the top four. Now, really, it'll be the top two because they're going to expand this thing to 14. And we'll see exactly how that goes. I don't think that they're going to go to 16 because I don't think ESPN's going to give them more money. And why would you have four more teams play for the same amount of money? It would make no sense. So you could do two more so that, you know, because you're not getting more money for 14, but you're not going to get more money for 16 either. But I think that 14 was kind of already built into this thing. So it's the way it goes.
Tickets to everything are expensive these days. And I know you're like me. You want to catch a big game or a concert, maybe even tickets to a show? Why not save some money every time you buy tickets? Visit TicketSmarter.com or use the TicketSmarter mobile app and use the promo code WCE10, that's WCE10, to save $10 on any order of $100 or more, or use WCE20, that's WCE20, to save $20 on an order of $300 or more. It's not a one-time sign-up bonus or anything, seriously. Every time you buy tickets, you can save money on already great deals. So do yourself a favor. Think smarter with Ticket Smarter.
All right. We're over 30 minutes on this. Let's close out with this one. And then maybe we'll do an additional podcast later on in the afternoon because I will still be driving for a while. But let's talk about Luke Fickell, the Wisconsin head coach. This happened last week. I haven't really talked about it much, but obviously I like to talk. Hopefully you guys liked it. Listen, Luke Fickell got his contract extended an additional year. So now it goes through March 31st of 2032. Now, this is kind of what Kentucky has done with Mark Stoops. It was more accepted with Kentucky because everybody just believes that Kentucky should be happy with winning seasons because that is the Kentucky brand. Wisconsin, at least in Kentucky fans, for the most part, are more enamored with basketball than they are with football. So this weather change is really getting to me. So Wisconsin added an additional year onto Luke Fickell's contract. So the first question is, why would you do this in February? Nobody is coming to try and get Luke Fickell. What are we doing? Fickell just fired his offensive coordinator. Phil Longo is now the head coach at Sam Houston. et cetera, right? You get the whole thing. But why would you do this? Because you're not competing with anybody, so why would you extend him an additional year? If he only had 3 years left on the contract and you're trying to sell the recruiting thing, then yeah, maybe you do that. But even still, Fickell has not done well in his first 2 years. He has, what, two games below 500, if I'm not mistaken? 15 and 17, something like that? No, it's not 15. It's 13 and 15, something, whatever it is. You guys get the point. He has not done well. And Wisconsin expects to be in the playoff. They expect to contend for Big Ten titles. That's why they brought him in. They invested heavily. And obviously things did not go well with the offensive coordinator. And a lot of people thought that it was a bad fit anyway, but Fickell wanted to try some things. He wanted to modernize, and I get it. What some people have said is, well, this was an accounting thing. They want to get everybody lined up as far as their contracts, etc. But I don't think that you can do that. If you are in a hole with a coach that it has not worked out so far, and you get the feeling that eventually you might... Now, if you've got the right guy, and you are convinced that he is the right guy, then okay. But even then, why would you extend him out an additional year? Because he's already under contract for 6 years. Why would you need him to be under contract for seven? These are the things that make no sense. Now, there's been no talk that I've seen to where his buyout got reduced or he was willing to give up. No, it's just an additional year tacked on where he's making $7.8 million or whatever it is because the contract goes up each year. The buyout's still going to be gigantic, but now you've just got an additional year. These kind of things make no sense to me. So you guys, if you're listening, hit me up on X. Explain the Wisconsin situation to me, because as I read into it, I haven't been able to find really good details. And the way that it sounds is due to some university accounting stuff, they wanted to get that additional year on there. And I don't know why you would ever do that. If it's a coach that there is a chance that he might not be there in the next 2-3 years, why would you do that? Like, I could certainly see Fickell having one more losing season and then being given given that fourth season to try and get things right. I don't see Wisconsin firing him before 4 years are up. But after 4 years, if he doesn't have another winning season, yeah, that could absolutely be what happens. So why would you want to pay a buyout that's 3 years as opposed to four? Or 3 years as opposed to two, excuse me. I'm very curious about all of this. Very, very curious. So, all right, that's going to wrap things up. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time talking to you guys. It's been a little bit. Boy, when I tell y'all what is going on with me, you will not believe it. Absolutely won't believe it. But regardless, I'll be doing more of these as we go. I do wonder if I should just get back into the habit of doing this daily and not just do college football. If I should just get back into sports talk. I don't know. I've enjoyed focusing on college football. That's what I love to talk about. So, we shall see how that works. All right, you guys have been fantastic. Of course, bettingcfb.com. Of course, subscribe everywhere that you get podcasts. And leave a nice 5-star review. That would certainly help out. I'll be reading off some of those new reviews as we go. But you guys are amazing for that. Absolutely amazing for listening and everything else. So, yes, go ahead and knock those things out, and I'll be back soon enough. In the meantime, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, at GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.